Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is June 17th, 2022. Friday, sunny, hot, humid. Beautiful morning here on the Delmarva, East Coast, Delaware. Hope everyone's having a great day. Another grateful day of being sober. Just another blessed day, right? Got up this morning. You know, I've shared in this podcast in the past, you know, I've been struggling with a little bit of procrastination. And well, actually, I've been struggling with a lot of procrastination, but a little bit of laziness. I don't know if they're the same. There's some weird shit that goes on in my head when it comes to procrastination, some justification. You know, I don't know if procrastinate is another word for lazy. I'm not sure, but I've been suffering from a little bit of both, but at the same time, participating, been busy. And I think when it really comes down to procrastination, it's usually a couple of subjects. One of them, you know, I've shared, we're moving. I have done nothing towards moving. Haven't packed anything. I can't say I've done nothing. I mean, we cleaned the kitchen out one day, just went through the cabinets, just, you know, taking out stuff. Part of the challenge is that we are leaving a lot of our furniture because someone's actually going to rent our house. So we were leaving them stuff. What do we leave? What do we not leave? What do we have? But really sort of been dragging my feet on it. And the other thing is that we don't know exactly when we're going to move. I went by there the other day, yesterday, and the guy said, I can tell you your tentative date. And he said, it's July 18th. That's the tentative closing date on your house. And I was like, ooh, which is basically a month and a day, right? But what we were told was that when we're 4 weeks out, we'll get an email and say, hey, we're 4 weeks out, and you know, do what you must. And that means to me, that's when we, you know, start packing. The other challenge is a lot of the stuff that we need to pack, we use. And I told my wife and my kids, I said, I'm not transferring a bunch of crap over to this new house. So this weekend, my brother's coming down, and first thing we're going to do is clean out the garage. And the garage is not that bad, really not that bad. I've cleaned it out a couple times. It's not horrible. We do. When I got this house in 1998, my dad, you know, and I've shared before, you know, thank God for my dad. My dad said, listen, I'll build a house. You can pay the rent. And then if you want one day, you can sell it and, take any money from it. And, you know, cause this was at a time when I'd moved here and I hated it. Didn't like it living here. And my dad's like, listen, if you still don't like it, take the money that we make from the house and you can move back to New Mexico or California or wherever you want to go. But at least you're putting money towards something. And I was like, yeah, great. But one of the things he did was build a two-car garage. It's a, you know, it's like a double wide with a two-car garage. And I am like, oh, okay, I love the idea of putting a car in the garage. So I've always put my car in the garage. My wife has always kept her in the car in the garage. So meaning we don't, it's not full of a lot of shit. It's just a garage. It does have some stuff. But my brother and I told the kids, I said, this Saturday we are taking apart the garage. So we are going to get everything out of it and make three piles. We're going to keep pile, the giveaway pile, and the throwaway pile. and we're going to throw away some shit. But there's still like some, you know, baby stuff, some pack and plays. You know, I saw, went by the house yesterday and met a guy that lives in there, and they're getting ready to have a baby. And I said, do you want an extra pack and play? He's like, I don't know. And I go, take it. I go, as a father of three children, one of the things, you know, after all the glitz and the glamour of having children and all the gifts that you get from all your friends and baby showers, in the end, when you're left all alone with your partner and these children, you start to realize there are certain things you need. And one of them is a pack and play. You know, we had, I think, like three of them, probably one at my parents', one at our house, maybe one for the trunk. And wherever you go, you take your pack and play, and your little kid has a little, you know, little place to stay. So, but there's stuff like that. I got to figure out, see if he wants it. If not, we're going to just donate it. Donating everything. I really don't want anything. I don't want anything. But we're going to get that cleaned, and then we can start, excuse me, then we can start, you know, kind of transferring everything out of the house that we want into the garage, and that way we know exactly what we're going to leave and what we're going to take. Anyway, the point is that I haven't really done much about this. Been doing some procrastination and beating myself up about it a little bit of beating up, because, you know, I guess if I was on the ball, right, if I was like my mother-in-law or something where I'd already have it all packed and cleaned and done, I don't really operate like that for some reason. I guess it's procrastination, whatever. But I've given myself plenty of reasons why I'm exactly doing what I'm supposed to do, which is really waiting. And what we're waiting for is that email that says, listen, you got 4 weeks and then your house will be finished. And I'm like, 4 weeks that's a good amount of time. And we haven't gotten the call. But it was interesting to talk to the guy yesterday and telling us that the estimated closing date is the 18th, so we're getting close. But yeah, you know, so just, but you know, when things like that are going on, I know inside. Yeah, I don't even know. I think we're really doing exactly what we're supposed to do. I don't know, but I'll be definitely happy when this whole process is over. And we can kind of get back to, you know, because we've sort of been up in the air for like the last 2 years, right? You know, we started off with wanting just to fix up our house, and then, you know, people are like, you can't fix up a trailer. It's like, well, and then, you know, some other options came about, and, you know, my in-laws are like, listen, why don't we invest in some property? And so, you know, it is what it is. And here we are 2 years later, and we're looking at about 4 weeks left. And, you know, it's exciting, very exciting. Part of the problem is we really love where we live. I've shared before that we live at the beach. We don't live on the beach. We live probably about 5 miles from the actual beach. It's 5 mile bike ride, I know that, to the beach. And so many people come here, it's really a challenge. And I've been here, you know, we've been living in this house since 1999, so 22 years, 23 years. But the traffic has just gotten so bad. And it's not like D.C., right? It's not like Philly. It's not like New York City. But it's just annoying enough that you're just, you know, like, it was funny. We went over to Easton one day. I think my wife and I stayed in Easton for the weekend, or in Cambridge. And, you know, it was nice because you could jump in the car, we drive up to Easton, go eat something, then we could go over to St. Michael's, back to Cambridge, back to Easton, back to St. Michael's. You could just basically travel free about the town. No real concerns about traffic. Where here, you know, I always say you get one trip, right? One trip you can stand. One trip to Home Depot, and once you get back, if you bought the wrong thing, you're not taking it back that day because there's just this grind of traffic. And it's hard to cross over, and it's hard to get back across. It's an issue if you live here. I mean, in the big picture, it's not a big deal. But for some reason, you know, it's a thing. And so one of the exciting things is we're moving out of the town. We're moving away from the beach because it's just so crowded. And but the other problem is that we love where we live, right? We've raised all the kids there. cute little house. Blessed that we even have that. Thank you, Dad, because my father was very generous enough to basically put the money out there when I had none, right? And the nice thing is that since we're doing an investment property, we're keeping that other house, the house that we live in. We're not selling it. We're just going to rent it. But we're going to try to keep that for the kids, if we can, right? As long as shit don't hit the fan and we go crazy financially, which I just mean as long as the financial world doesn't go crazy, you know, our plan is to leave that for the kids. So that, because where we live, and it's probably, you know, if you live in any city, you know, or any state or parts of a state, you know, there's parts of a place where they've just, where we live, when I moved here, when I moved here, when my dad put the place on the property, we paid $111,000 for a lot, for a double wide trailer, manufactured home, and a 2-car garage to be built onto the property. Total $111,000. You know, today, that, like, if I was going to sell that property now, I would sell it for $500,000. I mean, that's just how much everything has gone up. And unfortunately, you know, kids, young kids, my kids, you know, I've heard people call this a financial island, where basically we're really struggling here in our town, and probably in a lot of towns, where you have like summer, you know, where summer ramps up. You know, we have a lot of kids and stuff that come work here in the town, but nobody can afford to live here. So people are having to buy houses for their employees. It's crazy. And so, you know, in our minds, we want to try to keep this house so that our kids will one day have a place that they can come and stay when they want to come down here to the beach and hang out. And they don't have to, you know, worry about paying for it. Now, hopefully our kids find success and they don't worry about shit. But, you know, part of the thing is that inside, I don't feel good about myself, right? Inside, I don't feel like I'm good enough to have what I have. And sometimes I start to believe that my kids are going to be the same way. And it's, you know, my kids are probably going to be just fine, right?
To see.
it's interesting to think about that album, The Wall. You know, that was that album came out when I was basically right in my teens. I remember seeing the movie, actually, The Wall, down in Albuquerque when I was 12, 11, 12, something like that. But that album was so dark. And I was so dark. And it's just, I look back and I try to figure out, you know, for some reason I just have this idea that I just can't be this. Like, something happened, something took place that made me become what I am. I think as a parent, you know, you want to try to, hopefully your kids, you know, won't become, you know, involved in too much shady shit. You know, as a father of a teenager, I look at my son who's 16 and he's doing just so much better, right, than I was. Life's a little different. I think I was a little bit catered to and taken care of. And I'm not opposed to doing that. I do that with my kids now, but I feel like they're just a little more independent. And I don't know. I just don't put so much into my kids loving me, right? I mean, I want them to love me, but I don't, it's not like, love me, you know, love me, praise me, you're so awesome, Dad. I don't put a lot into that. I really, you know, I like the idea of, you know, creating an environment where your kids kind of figure it out a little bit on their own and giving them room to fail and struggle, but also being there for, you know, some advice. You know, it's tough. You know, my son, my oldest son, I don't know if I talked about this, but he wants to, you know, he came to me one night, my wife and I were watching TV, and he says, I want to, me and Alex want to buy a camper. And I was like, oh, great. And we want to keep it in your backyard and fix it up. And I'm like, no, you're not putting it in the backyard. And, you know, and I'm like, we're just sitting there, and all of a sudden he just pops in and he just dumps all this on us. And I'm like, you know, and I have shared in the past where, you know, I don't want to be a downer. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer when it comes to my kids and their ideas and their, you know, thoughts. And because I can just say from my path, it's been up and down and crazy full of ideas. Some I tried, some I didn't. Really, honestly, didn't start having any sort of fun with ideas or success until I got out from under the thumb of my father. Not that there's anything wrong with him. It's just that he's like, that's a dumb idea. You're not going to do it. And so when he comes up with ideas, I don't want to, you know, poo-poo him. But, you know, one of the things that I've learned in this program is that, you know, don't go on my first thought, right? It's a nice option that we have, that we can pause and wait, right? Like a gun law should happen, right? And because sometimes if I go on my first thought, it's not the right idea. Like, I need a second to kind of let it stew, you know, run it over the coals a bit, try to figure out, you know, is this actually the right idea, whatever it is. So what I always say to him is, you know, listen, I'm not saying no, I'm not saying yes, but what I am saying is come to me in a week, bring me the facts, and we'll discuss it. And he never mentioned the camper again. And the latest one is he comes in the other day and he goes, me and two other friends, the three of them, want to go in on a vending machine. And I'm like, a vending machine? I'm like, David, come on. Because I, you know, back in my party days, I knew this guy that was friends with my brother who had vending machines. And he would he had this little piece of shit car that was fucking full of boxes of fucking candies, Junior Mints and Kit Kats and whatever other bullshit that you could sell. And his job was to basically go around to all these different vending machines, get the money, fill them up, you know. And, I mean, no, listen, it's whatever. Whatever your thing is whatever your thing is. But this guy wasn't really doing very well in life. I mean, I think he rented a single wide trailer, you know. Big pot smoker. I mean, I could see why maybe there were some struggles. But whatever. But I was like, you know, David, first of all, you're splitting it three ways. You know, I don't see a ton of profit. I mean, maybe. I don't know much about vending machines, but I don't know what the profit margin is. And he wanted to, they wanted to put it down in Bethany. We don't live in Bethany. We live in Rehoboth. So that's a 30-minute ride in the summer, right? And gas prices. And I'm like, have you, you know, thought about this kind of stuff? Do you want to have an LLC or an S-Corp? I mean, what kind of business are you going to have? You know, what are you going to do with the money? He's like, I go, you need a bank account. You need an EIN number. No, I don't. You need to be 18 to do, you know, to have a bank account. No, I don't. So he's Googling it. And he's like, well, I guess I do. And I said, yeah, most kids that start a business usually have a parent that kind of backs them up. And I would back you up. I'm just not sure I'm ready to get behind one vending machine shared three ways. And he's like, oh, and he's you know, going back and forth. And I said, why don't you do this? Why don't you find all your facts and bring them to me in a week and we'll discuss it. And, you know, he was like, okay, that sounds good. Well, yeah, I haven't heard back from him. So I'm thinking that he had a couple days to kind of let this stew, you know, whether he thought it was a good or bad idea, he did not feel the need to proceed any further. At least at this point, you know, he may be coming up with a big master plan, but, at this point, it seems like the vending machines have fallen away. But, you know, it's you know, I it's tough, you know, as a parent because, you know, these kids, you know, I know my journey, and it was a messy journey. My journey was very messy. But here I am, right? I'm 53. I own my own business. It's not a big business. It doesn't make a ton of money, but it provides. It's a lot of fun. You know, I own a business that's a lot of fun. I have a lot of fun at work. I do not make a lot of money, but we don't have a lot of stuff, right? And we don't do a lot of things that require a lot of money. I mean, and especially now with the prices that they've gone to now, put it this way, it's real easy for us to cut back because we don't really spend a lot out in the first place. And now we're really all really thinking about it twice, you know, before we go do something. So, but, you know, we don't have a lot of responsibility, a lot of financial responsibilities. So we have, you know, it's pretty chill, you know. I feel bad for people that get caught up in, you know, in every town, there's the well-to-dos, right? There's the middle well-to-dos, and then there's the lower kind of well-to-dos. You're all successful, right? Having some sort of success, which usually means, you know, you're maybe both working, making a nice living, having, you know, reasonable payments, and you can have, you know, some flexibility with your financial situation. You know, it's all levels of success. Some people, you know, are the top dogs in the town, and then you have, like me, where, you know, we do okay, but we're not buying boats, right? We're not buying RVs. And then sometimes you'll have the upper crust and the lower crust mix because the lower crust wants to associate with the upper crust, so they will commit to something that the upper crust can handle. And at the moment, the lower crust thinks they can handle it as well. And what ends up happening is, and I see it happen all the time, people will go in with other people on houses or boats or trips. And, you know, it's ego driven, you know, I've been it, I've done it, I've been there. I've wanted to be part of somebody's world. My buddy, Matt, you know, Matt was very successful and, you know, I wanted to be part of his world. So I bought a motorcycle. Luckily I could afford it. He had nine, right? He had nine motorcycles. I had one, cause that was all I could afford. But, you know, I wanted to buy another one, right? I wanted to buy this BMW road bike because Matt had it. And I'm like, I want to be part of that. And luckily, I didn't buy it. And unfortunately, he passed away. But the point is that I see a lot of people that do these kind of things and buy boats and stuff. And then they're the ones that really, in the end, are suffering, especially like right now. I'm noticing a lot of RVs for sale, a lot of boats, a lot of jet skis. You know, we kind of work our way up the mountain, and then as the mountain, as the temperature gets too cold, right, the financial frigidity, right, of the frigidity, frigidity of life, and we start having to come back down the mountain. And, you know, that's kind of why, you know, what my point was to David, it was like, you know, just take a second, man. You know, do you, it's hard to commit to a whole world. Unknown caller. What's all these people calling me for? But, you know, just take a breath. Take a breath. Think it through. And he did. And it was really cool. And I don't know. You know, it has nothing to do with drinking, right? I hope you're not drinking. I hope you're not thinking about drinking. I hope you're sober and hanging in there. It's awesome. It's super important. Very grateful to be sober. My wife and I say it to ourselves every day. Thank you for being sober, right? All of the things, you know, and as fucked up as we were, especially as I was, you know, it's not like the basic things just come to you basically, just out of, just naturally, because it, you know, you still have to be present. And just being sober and, you know, being able to have the freedom to have the jobs that we have or don't have, right? And be able to say, hey, as long as we're sober, man, we're good. You know, I wonder how much stuff in the past that I purchased or did because ego, I just inside just didn't feel good enough. And I wanted to feel better through financial stuff. And I don't know. Shit, I'm trying to, let's see if we can find a, come on, Daily Reflections. Daily Reflections. Deep down within us. Here we go. June 17th. We found the great reality deep down within us. In the last analysis, it is only there that he may be found. Search diligently within yourself. With this attitude, you cannot fail. The consciousness of your belief is sure to come to you. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 55. It was out of the depths of loneliness, depression, and despair that I sought the help of AA. As I recovered and began to face the emptiness and ruin of my life, I began to open myself up to the possibility of the healing that recovery offers through the AA program. That's a great point. You know, I never really think about it like that. I do think about coming in beat up, and it is a healing, spiritually and physically. And, you know, it's like a Band-Aid. It's like a cut, you know, Neosporin, Band-Aid, bandage. But as it gets better, we stop bandaging it, right? It's kind of like being sober. Let's see. Healing recovery offers through AA program. By coming to meetings, staying sober, and taking the steps, I had the opportunity to listen with increasing attentiveness to the depths of my soul. Daily I waited in hope and gratitude for that sure belief and steadfast love I had longed for in my life. In this process, I met my God as I understand him. And I couldn't agree anymore. That is so great. You know, over the years, I've met my God. I've met my higher power, and I've created the relationship that I have with him, and or it. Him, it, they. I don't know, but I know that it is a relationship, and luckily, you know, luckily I don't have to pray that much about stuff, you know. I feel like I'm starting to learn and figure it out that not to get myself in these positions, and I'm pretty grateful for that as well. So that's all I got. I hope everybody has a great day, and we'll talk to you later.
Caught red-handed, showing feelings. showing feelings of an almost human nature. This will not do. Call the schoolmaster! I wish it had come to no good to me and your honor. They let me on my way. I couldn't lead to sheep. But my heart will take the bleeding hearts and artists. Why I'm going with laughter, let me hammer him to death. Take him home.